listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician. Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 173 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, your host for the show. And we just wrapped, last weekend, we just wrapped the 2016 edition of the DIY Musician Conference. And I have to say, I'm still basking in the afterglow of that. It was such an amazing experience being with the community of musicians, meeting many of you who listen to this podcast. I'm already excited about next year. We're headed to Nashville next year. We made a big announcement at the conference that the next DIY Musician Conference will be in Nashville, Tennessee, August 25th through 27th. Tickets will be on sale soon. And if you attended the conference this year, be sure to be checking your email because we're going to be sending you a special coupon to get a really discounted ticket. So be looking for that. While we were at the conference, we recorded a live taping of the podcast. I'll have that up for you probably next week. But this week, I'm going to roll with my keynote address. I had the privilege of opening up the conference with a keynote, and so I have that audio, and I'm going to play it here for you. Just a quick note, I used about 90-plus slides, and so you won't be able to see those slides, obviously, on the podcast, but that explains some of the things why people are laughing at certain times, and I'm referencing a lot of imagery on the screen, and some of the pacing is so that people can read what's on the slide and take what's in on up there. So that's what's going on for the live audience, but it still works as an audio podcast, and I wanted to get it up for you and let you hear it if you weren't able to attend. So this is my keynote address from the 2016 DIY Musician Conference called Cutting Through the Noise.
Thanks. It's great to be here. Thanks for braving the rain, those of you that are local. It just feels like home for us. When my alarm went off this morning, I was like, who schedules a musician conference at 9:15 in the morning? And I reminded myself I did, and so I am responsible for that. If you like to tweet and post on Instagram, I'm at K Bruner. You can tag at CD Baby, and we're encouraging people to use the DIY Musician hashtag over the weekend. I know a lot of the CD Baby crew wasn't able to join us, and so they're kind of back home monitoring that hashtag to see all the action. So when thinking about what to talk about today and thinking about what's on the minds of artists, I just started thinking about what is the number one thing that artists tend to ask me. And thought about it for a while, and I came up with the number one thing has to be, how can I cut through all the noise and get noticed? And you know, that's a challenge. An artist, it's typically my music's out there. People can get it around the world. But how do I get people actually listening and engaging and build a fan base? Because we live in a world that's getting increasingly noisy. There's a lot of music out there, but it's not even just music. I mean, the world looks a lot like this these days. And then it gets taken up even 10 notches, and this is what we're dealing with every day. Just stuff flying at us everywhere. So how do we break through that, get people to notice and hear our music? So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that today. Everyone okay after that last slide? No issues. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about my musical journey. I grew up in San Diego, and when I started out wanting to pursue music, you pretty much had three options that you were told. Moved to LA, Nashville, or New York in order to pursue music. And once you got there, the whole goal was to start playing these prestigious clubs like the Roxy. And your sole purpose, the sole strategy was to get the attention of record label people, often characterized as this guy. I'm sure he has your best intentions in mind. But we did it anyway because this guy held the keys to the gate to all the adoring fans that wanted to buy and hear our music, and that's the only way we could do it. So I thought, that sounds good, I'll do that. And I went to Nashville went to Belmont University. There must be somebody who attended because I heard a big shout out. Yeah, he's over here. And a few years later, ended up in a band called Small Town Poets. And when I walked in to our very first rehearsal, they were sending out 3-song demo tapes to record companies. And that strategy worked. We ended up signed to an EMI label, and here's our very first label promo photo. That's me in the middle with my arms crossed, just in case you couldn't figure it out. I don't even know if they make those anymore. But we saw some success. We had some number one songs. We were nominated for a Grammy, nominated for multiple Dove Awards. A song I co-wrote for the band was on a compilation album that went platinum. Our first album sold about 200,000 copies. Our second about 100,000. Not bad. They'll get you. They'll bring you back for another round when you're doing that. And we did a lot of great touring, sold out shows, lots of amazing events. Got to play some historical venues like the Ryman Auditorium and even giant places like Angels Stadium. Just amazing times. And it's at this point in the story that most people think, well, you guys must have been rolling in the money. You must have been rich. And that was not the case. We were broke. We were embarrassingly broke. I would go home to Nashville, and my friends who worked in the industry would be, congratulations on your success, that's amazing. I'd be like, thank you, could I borrow $5 for lunch? And one of the main, you know, the main culprits, the main reason we were not making money was because of this thing, the exclusive artist recording agreement. That's an actual screenshot of our agreement. I pulled it out the other day and started reading it, and I just had to walk away. I got so frustrated and angry. And through all that experience, we just felt like we were hamsters on a wheel, just running and running and running. And eventually, we all just started going our separate ways, which tends to happen a lot with artists. And I should say, it wasn't anyone at the record company. They were all great people. They were amazing people. It wasn't some nefarious plot on their part. It wasn't that we had all these inner band member struggles. They're like my brothers. It was just, we just felt like we were just burnt out and nothing was gonna happen even when we were seeing success and just had to move on. And you know, really thinking about the issues, it was like we had little control. We were the last to get paid, if we got paid. And we didn't own our music. And that's actually something that we're still dealing with years later, the fact that we don't own our own master recordings. And I left that situation thinking, there's gotta be a better way. There's gotta be a better way for artists to pursue a music career. We had the band over here making good music. We had these fans over here. It wasn't like our fans disappeared, but we had these people in the middle in an office that got to decide what songs were recorded, what songs got released, and make a lot of, you know, guesses about what would work for our career instead of just getting the music to the fans and let them decide. So I was very frustrated by that and just thought, there's got to be a better way to do this. And I took refuge in the Northwest in Portland, Oregon, and just went through this big creative spurt and started a new independent band, and that's when I came across CD Baby. It looked like this at the time. The office at that time was painted in those same colors. Lots of greens and purples. And it blew my mind. It's like, this is exactly what I'm looking for. No one to tell me who I can sell my music to. If they want to buy it, I can sell it to them. So I released an album, and what was so amazing was just to see sales coming in from Germany, Japan, places I'd never even been, not even with Small Town Poets, just people all over the world finding and discovering our music and making sales and just reaching people I never imagined I could before. So since then, I've released, been a part of 7 independent releases. The last one was a Small Town Poets Christmas album that we funded through Pledge Music. And we're still touring and playing shows when we can, usually around Christmas. That's what happens when you release Christmas albums. So that's kind of a real brief brief description of my musical journey. I've been on a label, on a major label. I've pursued music as an independent artist in Portland with my band, Hello Morning. I've been a part of the CD Baby team for almost 11 years, and what's been mind-blowing working there is to see all the artists' success stories, your stories, success that I never imagined was possible, even charting my own path, just ways to learn from other artists and see things that, how this new world of independent music was opening up. I'm still in the trenches working on projects. I have several projects I'm working on, including another Small Town Poets record. We're hoping to have a 20th anniversary record next year. And I'm really optimistic about what we're doing at CD Baby. I'm optimistic about where things are going. And even though it feels like we're in a noisy world out there, I think it's an unbelievable time to be an independent artist. And so with that said, let's get back to the question. So how can I cut through all the noise and get noticed? And usually when I'm talking to an artist and they say this, what typically comes out of their mouth next is an expressed frustration about having to market their music. Like, I'm frustrated trying to cut through the noise, but then I've got to spend all this time marketing my music. I don't know what I'm doing, and I just feel like I really just want it to be about the music, but I feel like I got to do all these things. And so we're going to talk about that. So first up, to cut through the noise, you got to stop contributing to the noise. And what I mean by that is marketing your music is not sitting on Facebook all day. It's not harassing your fans on Twitter. It's not sending junk email until everyone on your list unsubscribes. Marketing is about delivering a message and the timing, the context, the platform. All those things matter and need to be considered. And ultimately, the goal should be to get somebody to take some sort of action at some point. At work, I monitor a lot of Twitter feeds having to do with music and CD Baby. And so I see artists posting a lot, like buy my music, and they post links to CD Baby. So I thought it'd be interesting to do a Twitter search on Twitter of the term buy my music and see what comes up. So I did that, and my very unscientific search, the number one thing artists were saying was, buy my music so I can eat. And while eating is a very noble cause, and we all need to eat, a lot of this type of messaging, it's just noise pollution. We're just adding to the glut of information and noise that's out there that people just don't care about. And we've got our fans, we're out there and we're just hammering them with messaging, hammering them with like, buy my music. And they're over here going, I love your music, but this is killing me. Stop. And the challenge is we've got to find a way to get our fans to support us. We need their support. We can't do it without them. You can't have a career and make money without fans that are willing to come along for the ride. So we've got to find these people. And so that's where I want to start reframing a little bit how we're viewing what we're doing as artists. And stop thinking about just all this crazy messaging we're doing and start thinking about what value can you add to the lives of your fans. While I'm sure, like I said, eating is a very noble cause, but your fans and the people out there, they assume you're eating. Yelling at them that you need to eat is not advancing your music career. What can you do to add value to their lives? Because in the end, your mastery of social media, email, and other marketing channels doesn't mean much if you don't have anything worth saying. So I'm going to say, let's hit pause on all this marketing that we've been told we need to do, all this, I've got to be on social media. It always frustrates me when I hear an artist talking to someone and they're like, I need to get my music out there. How do I connect with people? And the first thing out of the first piece of advice they get is, what's your Twitter strategy? What's your Facebook strategy? What's all these things? Let's hit pause on that. Set aside the social media guilt that a lot of us have that distracts us from actually pursuing the thing we want to pursue. And marketing's important, but let's just set that aside for a second. I found this great quote. I was listening to a podcast. I'm a big podcast junkie. And it was an interview with Mike Birbiglia. He's a stand-up comedian. Some Mike Birbiglia fans in here. He's on NPR a lot, and he's got a couple feature films that are out. And he was being interviewed. It was on Tim Ferriss's podcast. He was just being interviewed, and he said this amazing, amazing thing. I was mowing the lawn. I actually had to stop and go write this down before I forgot because it was so great. He said, "Don't bow to the gatekeepers. You are the gatekeeper. Don't waste your time on marketing. Just try to get better. It's not about being good. It's about being great. A lot of people are good. Not a lot of people give you their soul when they perform." And I love that quote for a couple reasons. One, that half the time, all that noise we think is just us getting in the way of ourselves and not focusing on the things that are important. But I've been an artist for 20 plus years, and I can tell you, there's a lot of people half-assing it. There's a lot of people just going through the motions. And the artists that are giving people their soul when they perform, those are the ones that are seeing good things happen. And I love that quote. I think I'll get a t-shirt made out of it or something. So the challenge is, though, we have to talk about our music. It's like, okay, we're saying push pause on social media. We're saying, stop spamming people. Then what am I supposed to do? I've got to talk about my music. And yes, you do. But to cut through the noise, the first thing you need to do is you need a compelling artist story. And it's funny, as artists, we are very creative people. We spend a lot of time writing, recording, going through the creative process. We're just putting ourselves into this whole project. And then by the time we get to the end of it, I don't know if it's just that we're just tapped out or what, but we get to the end and it's just kind of like, here, go buy my music, I'm done. Here it is. It's the best album ever. And that's it. In fact, we've got a reputation of being so bad at it. There's actually a website that I found dedicated to why I deleted your band's promo email. It's put together by a journalist who's anonymous, but it's just all these things that he's taken little screenshots of things artists are saying about themselves that he thinks are ridiculous. Like this top one, "The truth, though, is that exceptional creativity is nurtured by a complexity-brewed combination of unswerving dedication and God-given talent." Newsflash, every artist thinks they're the best artist on the planet, so we don't need to tell people we think we're great. They already know we think we're great. "Have you ever heard of me?" No, I haven't. World-class rock and roll outfit. All these things don't tell me anything about who you are, what you're about, what's unique. Why should I even care? I see those things, and I don't care. And that's we gotta figure this whole thing out. And when thinking about how you tell a compelling story, we just had probably the best example that we all, most of us, saw and experienced in the Olympics. Before the Olympics, I had no idea who any of these people were. Honestly, I had no idea half these sports even existed. By the way, if anyone wants to explain Olympic handball to me, meet me out in the lobby afterwards. But we see these sports. It's not a part of our normal popular culture, but yet through masterful storytelling, we hear about the struggles, the adversity they've overcome. We see the raw talent that these people have. We see the dedication of years and years and years of honing their craft. And then we feel like our whole identity of a country is hanging in the balance of that pinnacle moment when they go for the gold medal. We feel that way because of masterful storytelling. And a lot of us are just pure sports fans, but a lot of it is just this masterful storytelling that makes us care, that makes us want to root for them. And I was speaking at a conference recently, and afterwards, this gentleman walked up to me, and he said, he handed me a CD, and he said, "This is my daughter's album." I'm like, "Great, thank you." And he said, "But I want to tell you something about her." He said, "We adopted her when she was two, and she couldn't speak. when she didn't learn how to speak until she was five. She had a lot of disabilities. And the doctors told her that she'd probably never be able to sing. And when she really loved music and was determined to sing, and it turns out she's developed an amazing voice. And he's like, here's her album. And not only that, a big part of her musical expression is to help other people with with disabilities learn how to sing. And I was just like, wow, that's a compelling story. That's something that's gonna get you press. That's something that's gonna make people wanna stop and listen and pay attention to what you're doing and take notice. And at minimum, it would make me feel like a big jerk if I didn't go and actually listen to this album. But it turned out it's great, and it's an amazing story, and it's an amazing story that will open so many doors for her as her career develops. I already mentioned that I'm a podcast junkie, and so I've got a podcast to recommend for you. This one is called Song Exploder. It sounds like some people are already listening to this Song Exploder. If you listen to the DIY Musician podcast we do, I mention it all the time. But the premise of this podcast is an artist comes in and they talk about the creation of their song. And at the end of the podcast, you get to hear the whole song. So when you subscribe to the podcast, there's a lot of artists on there that you may or may not have heard of. There's, which I think makes it even more interesting from a storytelling perspective. But if you do one thing with this podcast, listen to episode number 28 with John Roderick from The Long Winters. He starts out just talking about this personal experience he had growing up. He got his pilot license when he was 17, and his father's also a pilot. So a lot of their fond memories and that father-son experience is flying. And then there was all these current events that were happening that with the Columbia disaster, all these other planes crashing where the pilot had knowledge that the plane was going to go down. So he really related to that. Then he relates that whole experience to these broader truths. And then he just talks about the recording process and just some real magic happened in the studio. By the time I got to this point in the podcast, I was listening to it like walking out on my lunch break. I'm like bawling, walking down the path. And it's like, this could be the worst song in the world. I don't care. I'm going to love it because this is such a compelling story. And it really means a lot to this artist. Turns out it's an amazing song. But I highly recommend listening to that episode because he just does a masterful job weaving this story of who he is, how the song came about, the recording process that to a lot of music fans is a complete mystery. They have no idea what we do in there. And then just hearing the final product, you just want to like this song. And that's the kind of masterful storytelling we need to be doing with our music. And even after talking to artists about this, a lot of times they'll say, well, there's nothing interesting that happened to me. And trust me, between the time you were born and the time you showed up to this room, something interesting has happened in your life related to your music, why you do music. I know you didn't just randomly show up off the street, so something's motivating you that's interesting and has meaning and is a part of who you are and makes you unique, and you just need to tap into that. Because we gotta stop with the music promotion that we're basically saying, some band released a new album. So what? Lots of bands need to release a new album. Give me the story, tell me why I should care, draw me into who you are, why is this important? So some of the questions we need to be asking ourselves and discussing as we start trying to craft this story is, who are you? What makes you unique? What do you stand for? How have you overcome adversity? Why is music so important to you? What inspired your songs? What is your occupation or your day job? There's a lot of you that are completely ignoring communities and opportunities because you're not looking at the people that you might be working with every day as opportunities and ways to relate to them. We did an artist meetup in Nashville back in August, and I met an artist named Linda. Linda, are you here? She said she'd be here. Oh, there's Linda. Linda's, now I know you're an honest person. You didn't lie to me in Nashville. You are here. Linda's a real estate broker, And she was telling me how she wrote this song. I believe it was called "If This House, If These Walls Could Speak." Is that what it is? Yes. And I've bought a house in the last couple years, so I know that a lot of real estate agents have really corny canned music that they have on their websites. And so Linda was expressing frustration about this to me and saying that she's got this song. And so her mission is to get other real estate agents using her song that fits perfectly with people who are looking for a new place to live. And I thought that was a perfect tie-in to a lot of those opportunities and the ways it ties in, tie to other people in relationships that we overlook a lot of times because we're not thinking about it. Some, a few other things, you know, personal and musical accomplishments. What organizations are you involved in? Who are people you've shared the stage with? The moment you decided music was your life. Any unique instruments or musical techniques? We have so many albums at CD Baby by the most unique and interesting instruments that you may not have even known existed. It's fascinating. That can be a great tie-in. Even fan stories. Fan stories are testimonials. Is there a story of how you've impacted the life of somebody else? Talk about it. Bring that in to your story. So, moving on. Now that you've got a good story, to cut through the noise, you have to have an idea of where you want to go. And talking about goals. I know musicians, we're not known for being goal setters, but actually we are. This is our goal. This is the goal we've all decided is us. And while that is a fine goal to have, when I dig deeper in talking to artists about cutting through the noise and this whole marketing thing, really what it typically boils down to is I want to see forward progress with my music career. And so that's why we need to have an idea of where we're going. What does forward progress look for you? It's going to look different for everybody. And there's some simple things and there's some bigger career things we can do to really make sure we're moving in the direction we're saying we want to. Some simple things that can just help you out. Deciding that, hey, as an artist, I want more reviews, press, email addresses, subscribers, followers, gigs, plays, streams, sales. Focusing and getting some more reviews. Will that help you get some better gigs or some better press? And just really identifying those things and making sure you're aimed at those specifically. Some bigger career milestones. I'd like to get a placement in film and TV. There's a sales goal I'd like to reach by the end of the year. A number of fan email addresses. Open for a national act. Sell out my release show. Get a featured article in my local paper. Build my catalog to 100 songs. And get a notable blog to feature my release. All these things could mean different activities that send you in different directions. And it's good to identify what is really the thing I'm looking for out of my career. Because oftentimes, I feel like our lack of focus is really the noise we're experiencing. That it's us that's causing the noise. We're just going in 100 different directions. And so we feel like, it's noisy out there. I can't break through. But it's like, you haven't even really figured out what you're trying to do. We tend to fall into these patterns over and over again. I've had this happen with some guys in Portland. I'm working on music now. Our sort of stated goal is we want to build a catalog of songs and to pitch for film and TV placements. All of us in that little writing collective have had song placements, and we just want to keep working it down that path. And so we started working on some songs, and we were working on it, and one of the guys was like, I guess we need to learn a set. I'm like, why? I have no intention of playing any shows. That is not what we said we're trying to accomplish. It's so easy to just go, I guess this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go play some shows now, and like, I wonder why we're not getting song placements. Well, we didn't do what we said we were going to do, so that's why we're not getting anywhere. So it's that focus, identifying what you want to accomplish and making steps to make it happen, because the cool thing is when you name those things and you achieve them, it's so inspiring. This happened to me a few years back. I'm a snowboarder, and So I've always been, and I grew up in San Diego, so I've always been fascinated with skate culture and snowboard culture, and always loved all the videos they have. And they always have these unique musical soundtracks that go along with them. Very independent underground music that you probably never hear anywhere else. And so I was really into these videos, and I thought, I want to hear one of my songs in one of these extreme sport videos. And a few years later, I made it happen. And it only paid like $500, but it was bigger than the money. It was, I made a goal, I saw something I wanted to see happen, and I made it happen. And it was just so inspiring and motivated me to, I want to hit the next target, I want to go bigger, I want to go further. So next up, if you want to cut through the noise, you need to make events out of your music. When Small Town Poets was kind of, we were kind of recollecting together again and writing and recording again and doing things independently. For a lot of the guys in the band, this was something totally new, doing independent music. And so over and over again, I would tell them that our audience will never be at any one show, especially now at the stage in life we're in. Our audience will never be, we're never gonna do a 100 city, 200 city tour again. But our whole audience is online, and we need to think strategically about what we're doing, make it bigger, maximize the potential, so we can reach our fans all over the world. Chris Robley, who, he's here. Chris, there you are. Thanks for your support. Chris, he and I are on the DIY Musician podcast together. Chris writes most of the content for the DIY Musician blog. If you've interacted with CD Baby at all, you've read Chris's writings. But this was his latest album he just released. Chris lives in Portland, Maine. CD Baby's in Portland, Oregon. It's confusing. We're still trying to figure it out. But when he comes to Portland, because he tries to make the time he has there count, because he used to live there and has a lot of connections there. So he likes to try and make that week-long really count, that time he's in the city. So he did this thing that I thought was a great example of going beyond just the, hey, I'm gonna go play some shows. First, he got a residency at a club, the Owl's Den. So the whole week he was there, every night he was at this club. And I know it's hard to see, but that's the concert poster. So he's there every night, and that's a residency, that's not all that unique. But what I thought made this different and interesting is that on the concert poster, it shows the music he's playing every night. Every night it was different music. One night it'd be featuring one of his albums, the other would be another. One night it was a set of Harry Nilsson covers. So as the week progressed, people that came and liked him had a reason to come back. They're like, hey, it's gonna be different. It's gonna be changing. This is cool. I'm experiencing this thing all week long. The other thing he did is that all the folks in red that are highlighted were featured performers, people in the local Portland scene that had a following. And so he brought every night a different person to be the featured performer. And I guilted him to hiring a videographer. Someone to record the albums, record the music every night, and a professional photographer to get photos. And by the end of the week, he had just tons of amazing comment, multiple live albums worth of music, tons of YouTube videos, and all these amazing photos. And what he did with the marketing that was also genius, I mentioned he had the featured performers, is the featured performers were the ones he featured in all the marketing for the shows. Because we've all been in that situation that we're trying to get the bands on the bill to help us promote to their fan list. And we're like, hey, will you promote my headlining show to your fans? Because I really want your fans to come to my headlining show. And they're like, I'm not interested. But Chris put all the featured artists front and center. So of course they were more willing to share all the information about the shows to their list. I think there was even these cool little videos with animation that he kept putting on Instagram. So not only is it this whole week-long event that's generating all this content. He's harnessed the power of the local community that he's not in anymore to help spread the message and get word out there. And when I'm talking about turning your look at your music and making events, talking about turning just some of the natural things you're already doing. How can you make it bigger? How can you maximize those things that we do as artists to spread on the internet? So people that aren't where you're at, those, even if it's a 300 person sold out club show here in Chicago, 99.99% of the people in Chicago and a much larger percent, are not at your show, but they're online and you can reach with those activities. So get video of everything. Not everything has to be album quality. Have you been on YouTube? It doesn't have to be a Hollywood production. Hire a photographer, videographer. Start taking advantage of Periscope and live streaming. These are ways to bring people along for the ride that can't be there night after night. And take your time, release all that content over time. You don't have to go, here's the 1,000 videos and live tracks from last night we're posting right now. Release it over time. Use this to build your artist's story. These are ways to engage with your fans when you might have not a whole lot going on as far as shows or being out in the public. But when was the last time you saw a video or a live track that was great and go, oh, this blows, this thing's 2 years old? That doesn't happen. Your fans don't care when it was. They just care that it's great, and then it's building the story of who you are as an artist. And the beauty of starting to think about things this way and harness the power of what you're already doing is I always hear artists say, I just want it to be about the music. But when you're doing this, it becomes about the music. You're building this artist story. You have something worthwhile to say to your fans. Instead of just spamming and buying my music, shouting at them, you have all this great content that they want, that they'll start asking you for and begging you to keep doing, keep giving me this stuff. So I've got one more item with one more thought about cutting through the noise. And that is, if you want to cut through the noise, you need to show up in unexpected places. We've all probably seen footage and video of someone like U2 or the Beatles and other bands have done it, doing this rooftop concert. And you know, the footage that makes it so funny is people running down the street going, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. Like they're losing their minds. They're like almost getting run over by cars, trying to make it to see this band playing on a rooftop. And you know, the more I thought about it, it's pretty funny how in our culture today, musical experiences are so separated from our daily lives. And I'm not talking about recorded music. Recorded music is everywhere. But I'm talking about the average person who's not an artist, probably doesn't know many artists, hardly ever, ever encounters an amazing artist in their daily life. It's one of those things where the better you get, the bigger your following, the more sequestered you get, the more it's on your terms that you, if you're a fan, you got to come on my terms, you got to come to the club, now you got to come to the arena, now you got to pay $150. And this points to a strategy that small town poets used that paid big results. If I had to, you know, I kind of breezed over hours and hours and hours of stories and advice, near-death experiences on the road that I didn't discuss. But the one thing when people always ask, what drove your success as a band? Our manager was a bit of a grassroots marketing genius guy, and he just had us on the road constantly doing these acoustic sets. This was the best picture I could find of it. Danny's not giving the bird, he's just scratching his nose. We would take what we did and strip it down to these acoustic sets that were still really true to the music, and we would do them everywhere. We would start at 6 a.m. in the morning, going constantly till sound check, between sound check and the show, we were probably doing another one somewhere after the show at a music store. It was just nonstop. We'd go out and intersect the lives of people around the city and turn them on to our music. And, you know, with those efforts, try and get them out to the show. This was actually us playing down on the corner, on a street corner in Nashville for a TV show. But the amazing thing is just the reaction of people. They'll be like walking along, do-do-do-do-do, just stop them in their tracks. And they're just like, okay, why is this really good band in the lobby of my business here? What is going on? I have to know. I'm not used to hearing great music and seeing artistry like this. How, I got to know the story. And they'll just stand there and just be captivated. And like when you finish, like, I have to know, what is going on? Why are you here? What's happening right now? What am I missing out on? And we made so many diehard fans this way. People that, you know, that had no idea we existed, had no intention encountering a musician that day, and became people that came out to every show within a 300-mile radius of their city, gave us places to sleep, sent us birthday cards and care packages. The people that really kept us going on the road encountered us that way. And it's something very powerful. This is not a rock star moment for you. This is about intersecting the lives of people in places that they don't expect to see musicians. It's a way for you to get outside the noise of where we said, hey, all the music happens in a club or a music venue where you've got to go and it's on your terms, you got to fight traffic. This is about showing up where people are. So some ideas. College student centers, businesses, city events, radio stations. I put radio stations on there because when you get outside of Chicago and you get to small towns out other places, there's radio stations that would be more than happy to have you come on and play a live song acoustically on the air. Doesn't matter if they're country, sports talk, whatever. They will absolutely say yes more often than you would think. Restaurants. I've got airports on there because I just had one of these experiences myself at the Portland airport. They have artists playing all over the airport. And a lot of times they're just kind of sitting there, they look bored, and they're kind of feeling like I'm just background music. But I was, you know, getting ready to take a flight, and I'm sitting there in this big atrium by TSA and security and just having coffee, catching up on email. And I noticed the music playing in the background, but something just stopped and made me look up. And there's this piano player, and I realized that the piano player, he's just really feeling it. And it was a great song, and he was just really feeling it. I was like, wow, I just stopped. Like, I don't normally see this from the musicians that I encounter here. This guy's good, and he's really passionate about it. And he was playing loudly, too, and just going for it. And when he stopped, I think the most unbelievable thing happened is that the whole atrium, from security to everywhere, erupted in applause. And it was just fascinating. I was like, wow, this is it. This guy gets it. And afterwards, people were coming up and asking him, like, who are you? Where can I get an album? And he had CDs for sale, and he was selling CDs. And I was like, that's it. That's exactly. People do not expect to hear artistry where the person's passionate and they care in those kind of places. Retail stores, gyms, health athletic clubs, those are all places. Chris's contribution was Ski Lodge, but that's actually a good idea because I have seen the Ski Lodges start having bands. I've even done this in the men's clothing section at a Walmart with Small Town Poets. And I wish I could say it only happened once. It happened 10 times. I will say, you know, that by that 10th time, you really start questioning your life's choices. But the handy thing was, one of our band members, who will remain nameless, was notorious for forgetting his underwear when we were on tour. So we always knew that we'd probably hit a Walmart and he could pick some up on the way. So, but anywhere people are congregating where interaction with music is absent, think about those places and show up. Sometimes it's going to work. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes some people will crowd around. Sometimes it'll feel like it was useless. One of those Walmart gigs we did was somebody that saw us there for the first time, had no idea who we were, became one of those diehard fans that bought all our albums, came to every show. So it's amazing what that interaction can generate. I know that some of you have probably done some busking out on the street. If you're not familiar with that term, that's kind of where you go out and you put up a case and you're just playing on the street. This isn't that, because one thing I'd say about busking is two things. There's nothing wrong with busking, but people see someone playing on the street with their case open. First, I would assume that the first thing a lot of people are thinking is street musician, which for some people has some different connotations. But the second thing is, you're asking for something, and there's nothing wrong with asking for money. So I don't want to shine that in a negative light, but it's an ask. Try kicking closed that guitar case and make it a give, where you're there giving for them, and they're just so blown away by what you're doing that they have to find out who you are and what your story is. It changes the equation. So I want to finish up with this, the mission. At CD Baby, our mission is to help artists make money by providing opportunities to distribute, promote, and sell their music everywhere. And I think that's a great mission, and it's something that we don't take lightly. Every day we show up to work, we discuss these things. How can we help independent artists do this? Everything we do, we talk about the artist. How does this benefit the artist? What can we do to help the artist? And all our decisions are based on these things. But I will say, your mission as the artist is so much bigger. Don't let the amount of money you have made and generated from your music to date be the measurement of your value as an artist and the value of your music. Being an artist is a lifelong pursuit. It's a career that builds over time as you grow and get better and learn and have more to contribute. It's a lifelong pursuit. And we all have those voices in our lives. When I started my musical journey, was heading off to college, I had an uncle. I told him, hey, I'm headed to Nashville. I'm going to major in music. And he said, you're never going to make any money. And I was like, you don't understand. This is more than just the money. This is who I am. I have to do these things. And I was on the plane, on the flight out here from Portland, kind of figuring out, how can I tie this up? How can I tie up that sentiment? And I have to thank Alaska Airlines and Macklemore for helping me with this next one, because I sat down in my seat, pulled out the magazine, and Macklemore was the article, the cover article. And Macklemore, he's a member of the CD Baby family. And he had this quote: making music should be about creating art, because that is the necessity for you to be fulfilled as a human. That is your oxygen. That is what makes you who you are. That is how you find your truth. Now, there's nothing more to say after that. And I'll just leave you with this. People are not looking to be sold something. They're looking for belonging, they're looking for meaning, and they're looking for community. If you want to cut through the noise and strike right at the heart of people, make your music about these things. Reach people in these ways, and you'll cut through the noise and get right to the heart of the matter. It's not that often that we get to gather 1,000 musicians in a room together and just be together. So this time is special. Get to know one another, like Tracy said. Learn each other's stories. There are so many success stories in this room that will just blow your mind. Find out what those are. There's a lot of trials that people are trying to get over. Share those. Get advice from each other. Learn. We've put together an amazing weekend of people that are going to help get those conversations going and help you move your career to the next forward. Show up tonight for the Tom Jackson Live Band Makeover. I can't remember if Tracy mentioned it, but the original band that was scheduled to play had to cancel last minute. And, you know, we've got the jam room up on the third floor, And there was a band jamming early on in the day yesterday, and someone said, "You gotta hear this band, they're amazing." And it's Running Red Lights, the band that we're gonna feature tonight. We asked them to do it, they agreed, they're gonna be good sports, and it's gonna be awesome. And I just thought, what an amazing thing that just from the jam room, you're gonna see a band up here tonight on stage. And so be here to support them in that. Come back tomorrow, and then we'll celebrate in the closing party out at Lagunitas. And so I look forward to meeting every one of you over the course of the next 2 days. And thank you, guys.
Thanks again to all the artists that came out to the conference. It was so great meeting many of you face to face and just having a chance to hang out and talk and learn from each other. We have info already starting to roll out about next year's conference, like I mentioned. You can find that at DIYMusicianCon.com. I hope to see you there. It's going to be in Nashville. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have more performance opportunities, more workshops, more of the things that you've been asking us to provide. So I'm super excited about it. If you'd like to call the podcast, you can call our listener line at 360-524-2209. If you want to leave us a comment or weigh in on a topic, feel free to do so. You can also email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com, or you can leave a comment in the show notes at the podcast website. Again, thanks to everybody who came to the conference. It was such an amazing event. I'm going to be riding that high for a while, and I look forward to the next time we get to hang out. More podcasts on the way. Thanks. Listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.